provide sit ins closer to the exams to help you, you know, have a salary for them every now and then, because they were popular, and sort of the run events similar to this. Couple of things in regards to housekeeping. We have bathrooms to the outside and left. Please don't be on our phone for silent. I'm sure you know, you all work hard in your work, just go outside, come back in, whatever you've done. Yeah, so we're good to go. Tonight we have the pleasure of welcoming Martin Walker to come present to us and to give us some tips and some pointers on one-on-one communication. Martin's attended and helped out with the app community for quite a while, and he's previously done a number of events which I've attended as well, and it's always been great and good fun and fun after. So I hope you take a lot away from it. The plan is, as you mind, we'll kick us off, and then towards the end we'll have a Q&A, and then at the very end, based on feedback, we're going to have just like, you know, we'll keep drinks out, we'll keep nipples out, and we'll just going to talk to each other, get contact, have each other, and all that jazz. Previously we've just left, which isn't great, but now we've got that facility. So, can I head over to Martin?
Well, thank you, Gautam. It's a pleasure to be here, and I feel honoured to be invited for the very first Young Actuaries program for 2016. What was the music? Who's paying attention? Who recognises the song? Monica? Coldplay Talk. And why do you think that was the choice for this evening? Oh, so close. No, it was the title, actually. Our subject tonight is, frankly, quite simple. It's about exchanging some ideas about how we can be better at talking to people. Now, there's plenty of people now probably thinking, oh, all those things I gave up to hear some old actuary talking about talk. So we've got a fancier title. We're going to call it The How of One-to-One Communication. I hope that makes you feel better. I'm just getting a feel from the audience. Who has attended a course, like professionalism course, or workshop, or something like a session at Actuaries Summit with, that I've run? Who's been in the audience for me before? Okay. Who hasn't been in the audience for me before? It's about half up. Who doesn't like putting their hand up? All right, so about 50-50. Okay, so that's good. So thank you for the people who have met me before and are game to come again. And I apologise in advance to the people who haven't previously worked with me if this is different to your expectations about how formal actuarial gatherings should be run. Today's topic, then, one-on-one communication. And when we first talked about this, oh, we want to do something about communication. I mean, communication is really, really big. So what we wanted to focus on is business environment, you dealing with a colleague one-on-one. I'd like to think that some of the ideas we'll share tonight are transportable to other parts of your life, but I'm not qualified to give relationship advice. I'm not going to be giving any non-business scenarios for us to work on tonight, but it might be when we come to the Q&A part today, if there are some potential adaptations that you'd like to explore, I'm quite open to questions about them. Tonight, two parts. First part, I'm just going to share some principles about one-on-one communication. Part two, we're going to practice. Communication, especially one-on-one communication, is not a spectator sport. We only learn by having a go. So you're not going to be practicing out here. It's not going to be one of those fishbowl role plays that everybody's looking at you. It'll all be simultaneous, right? You'll just be working with the person next to you or somebody else that you'd rather work with. Anyway, we'll talk about how the pairs might work later. We'll say, please, for people looking anxiously at the people around them, don't worry about that now. We'll come to that later. Okay, so first principle. We're talking primarily about one-on-one communication. Now, I am very conscious that it takes different forms. It might be opening the door, popping in, and having a chat one-on-one in conversation, speaking, verbal, listening. It might be via email. It might be via short text, messaging. So the focus this evening is on the more complex of those, which is the first one, when we've got a person in front of us and we've got all senses working, right? What we say, what we hear, what we see, maybe even what we smell. Probably not in the business environment what we taste, but that's okay. But now 4 out of 5 senses are probably working. Well, certainly 3. So that's more complex than the email version. So we're going to focus on interpersonal communication, but for each of our scenarios, we will have a brief conversation about what might be the same and might be different if it was an email. If it's about text, I don't know anything about that. You can tell me what would be different. All right? That'll only be the one comment about what would be different for text. You can. I'm here to learn as well. Principle number 2. Many people think that that is communication. A sender transmitting, a sender transmitting a message to a receiver. Who thinks that's communication? You can have to stay back. But it's interesting. A lot of people think that's communication. Many of the courses we attend are about public speaking. Sender to receiver. Presentation skills, presenting out. Even report writing, sending to a receiver. I don't think that's communication. What's for the people who didn't put their hand up? Who doesn't think that's communication? Who do I know? Anthony, why? What's missing?
It's too late.
Oh, gold star. I think that is the diagram for communication. It's not just sender to receiver. It's what the receiver understands and therefore transmits back to the sender. Key principle for tonight, 2-way. And all of the scenarios we're looking at, we're going to test the loop part, not just the do they get the message part. What else would we like to explore? We're going to do some practice. And we're going to set up some scenarios. So I want them to be realistic. I want them to be things that you actually do in the workplace. So I should also check, do we have anybody not in the workplace? Do we have any university students? No, everybody here is in a workplace? And is the workplace at home? Do you actually have people to talk to in your workplace? Again, lots of work at home people. Put up your hand if you don't have someone at work that you actually physically can meet with. Okay, I'll actually pass that. So we're going to have realistic scenarios. So I'm thinking then, what would be classic scenarios where you are speaking to someone about something important? Now, something important means different things to different people. I'm not talking about footy tips for the weekend, or you know, what you thought of the winner of I'm a Celebrity Getting Out of Here. Not those sort of important conversations. We're actually business on. So we're going to run three. And I thought I'll give you 2 to start with, and then you can come up with more important ones. If you can't come up with any, I've got a 3rd as backup. But I wanted to genuinely leave a space for you. And if you've got more good ones, I'm happy to cross out mine and do yours. All right, so one scenario what might be, you have been given some news, some important development, and you need to pass that on to your colleague because that requires some type of change of plan. Is that a plausible scenario? It could be. My friend Gautam has just told me that he's been elected for jury duty. He's going to be away for 6 weeks. That project we've got that he's got a critical role. How are we going to cover for him in the next 6 weeks? All right, so that might be as exciting as that. This idea that there has been some development, news is important, you're conveying this to somebody else. And if it's two-way, they need to think about what the implications are, and maybe even communicate back to you what the change of plan might be. Okay, that's possibility number one. Possibility number two is you work, this may or may not apply to you, but I'd like to think you are working in a helpful environment where you've got people you work with that you could give them a task to do and they might do it for you. Anybody work in those sort of environments where you can give someone a task to do? 26. Okay, we might put a line for that one. But I but for now, in the olden days, back last century when I was working, we had this idea that you know you could actually ask someone to do something, explain the task, and they might do it. So if you want to put a line through it, that's okay. But that's so the, you've got the one-on-one aspect of that. So that's a possibility. In your environment, give me an example of an important conversation you had one-on-one in the workplace today. Yep, sorry, what's your name?
Daniel,
yep.
So I had an initiative task.
Yeah.
My colleague came over and wanted me to explain the results to him.
Okay. All right, so this isn't explaining the task. This is explain results. Okay, yeah. I like that one. Who's got a different one? Different scenario. Important conversation that happened today, last week. Monica. About what that person did? So that would be an important conversation. A project has been completed, we finished a task, and we're going to sit down and see what we could do better next time. Or maybe not what we could do better, but what you could do better next time. Just jokes. They're just practicing alternate one-on-one communication. Any other ones? Other ones? Another important conversation last week, different style. Sorry, what's your name?
Stella.
Okay.
So I was doing reports for them, for this report.
Yep.
So they want to briefly explain like some key findings.
Okay.
Of the report.
Okay, so we could probably roll that one in here, explaining the results or findings, maybe even kind of the recommendations or something. That type of we might roll those in if you like that type of conversation. Okay, so. Let's think. Four tasks. You've got two voting buttons, so let's call them your hands. Okay? Right. You can only use your left hand once and your right hand once. Is that a fair rule? And so I'm interested in which we're just going to vote one of these off your arm. This is voting for which ones to stay. Okay? You'll pick your favourite two. You can only use one hand at a time. If you're really excited about explaining results, I need to do that. If you want to be really excited, you can vote twice. Okay, you can vote twice. No cheating. We're not going to order this. But okay. So, using first voting with your left hand. Who wants to keep that? Right. Donna, how's your counting? Better than mine, I hope.
Oh no.
You just keep an eye on it. You just visually. Okay. Thank you. This one. Left or right hand now. You guys are doing this deliberately, make it hard. this one, explaining the results thing. I think we're okay with that one. Okay. The feedback scenario. I think that looks pretty good too. All right. Okay, I'm kind of getting the message here. You like your ideas better than mine. And you know what? Congratulations, you're normal. That's my normal experience as well. So therefore, it's just one of mine being voted off the island. All right, and they were really close. They're really close. So you'll all have a vote again. Who wants to keep this one? The news thing. Who wants to keep this? Donna, which one do you want to keep based on that? That looks really close, didn't it?
The second one.
You're going to keep the second one. All right, good. All right. I didn't mind that anyway. Okay. Okay. So there are three scenarios. Good. That's all four. I'm still on principles. I just wanted to get that out of my system so I knew what I was doing, because it might change what we do. So for each of these one-on-one scenarios, there are a few things we could think about. There are a few things we could think about. So we could think about what's a suitable environment for that one-on-one conversation. And so we might, for each of the scenarios, we might have a brief talk about that, although for most of those it may not happen. We might do a variation on the feedback one. The second consideration for any of these conversations might be thinking about the other person, what's in it for me, i.e. what's in it for them. That's an important principle when we're at one-on-one communication. What's in it for the other person? If you're explaining the results, why should they care, in short? All right, so this whole what's in it for them, we might need to think about that for each of the scenarios. For some of the scenarios, depending on the circumstances, I might also get you to think about, in the communication, when you might just use your standard statements versus when you might use questions. So you could be, for example, explaining a task, and you could say, the first three steps are 1, 2, 3. They are statements. I know we've kind of got a bias towards maths rather than English, but they're statements, yeah? 1, 2, 3. All right, these are the steps. The alternate way would be, okay, this is the task. If this is the first step, what do you think might be the second step? All right, that's another way of kind of explaining a task. If the person goes, oh, yeah, I know all this stuff. Yeah, I can do, I know the next step. Okay, well, if you know the second step, you might know the third step. What's the third step? And they go, no, I can't remember the third step, or the last time I was explained, or I forgot, or whatever it might be. So I'm just, we're going to plant the seed that sometimes this one-on-one communication, we can use questions, which may be more effective than statements. The fourth, depending on who you're talking to, how much we use the concept of rapport. And depending on the scenario, we might tap into some rapport. Concept of rapport, what's rapport mean? Anybody, any definition from anybody? Anybody? Who's heard the word rapport? Keep your hand up if you're happy to give it a definition. Alistair?
Yep. You kind of have a bit of a relationship with someone who's bonded over something and they feel more comfortable
with you about it. Okay, so we've got a basics of a relationship, a bit of a bond. And so I might pose a question for the one-on-one scenarios. Is it worthwhile trying to either remind them about that bond or build that bond or extend that bond before, during, or after you have a one-on-one table, one-on-one conversation? And you might say, for this task, I wouldn't bother. And you may well be right. But for some tasks, it might be worthwhile just doing a little bit of rapport. So we might think about that as a consideration. The other consideration, again, depending on the scenario and depending on who you're talking to, we might throw in is, how do you actually wrap up the conversation? How do you ensure that there is a result, agreement, conclusion, that you don't have to come back 30 minutes later and go, hang on, did we finish that? Yeah, but they're just the sorts of things we might think about. But again, I'm also interested in what you would like from thinking about one-on-one communication you've had which didn't work, thinking about what could go wrong, are there other things you might want us to consider when we're doing our scenarios or get guidance or advice on? I'm thinking about reasonably broad things and things that apply to most people. So what would be another example? An example which I wouldn't put on the board, which is absolutely legitimate, would be, let's say you worked in an organisation that had a very strong belief in equal opportunity, and you had some of your colleagues that had some type of disability which got in the way of your verbal communication, that they had hearing problems or like, that would be a legitimate consideration. You know, how might we amend our one-on-one communication if we're dealing with somebody that's got some sort of impairment? But you know, that probably doesn't apply to many people here, so I won't put it up on the board. Things that have gone wrong that we might put on the list for guidance. You know, I work with really stupid people. I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. Okay? They just don't get it. Well, you can stay back and we have a conversation about that. What other things go wrong? Gautam?
I was going to say, pressure sometimes gets
good environment. Good one. What causes the pressure?
From timing to quality to
Okay, good one. Good one. Okay, we might throw that one in. We might throw that one in, depending on the scenario, is how some time pressure or some quality pressure, client pressure, customer pressure, might boss pressure might impact the communication. All right, we'll keep that up there, and we'll use it as a bit of a checklist. We're not going to apply it to every scenario, but we might just every now and then think, oh, we might think about that one. Okay, so that's the end of part one, principles. That we're talking about business environment, one-on-one, primarily verbal. Most important principle, though, is it's not just sending the message, it's the feedback loop, checking understanding, what comes back. Okay. So that's a bit of part two, practice time. And I can just see you're all really excited. You're really excited. And I think we might go in the order then that we've got up here. Let's do it in that order. So this is the way we're going to play the game. There are five steps in the process. First, we need to just outline the scenario. Second, we might tap into some of these sort of ideas, which might help frame it and give you some things to practice. Third, we'll try and get some pairs happening, explain who's doing what part. Fourth, we'll try it out, right? You'll have a turn. And fifth, we do a debrief. And those five steps we have to achieve in 10 minutes. Right? So there's not going to be a lot of time for mucking around, but good games, fast games. We're going to attempt to learn from experience. Part one, scenario one. Explain your task. To make it easy, I think it would be good if we all use something similar. So how is this for a scenario? You're dealing with a colleague, someone who has a similar degree of experience, similar degree of intellect to you, but you have, for this particular task, you have more experience than they do. Okay? So we're peers. But on this particular thing, and maybe only on this particular thing, I know more about than they do. The also part of the scenario would be that the reason that you're asking them to help you and you're going to give them the task is that, let's say, that your role at the moment is full on and theirs isn't. So they've got some capacity to help you. Let's assume for this scenario that... Let's see, how friendly do you want them to be? Rather than they'd come to ask you if they can help you, if that's too easy, rather than they're really stubborn people who are just uncooperative, we won't do that. We'll do neutral. We'll set a neutral. So they are normally friendly kind of people, but this is the first time that you've asked them to assist you. Right? You've got a pretty good clue that they're nice, friendly, helpful. You've also got a pretty good clue because the boss told you that they don't have that much work to do, and certainly less than you. And so you're going to explain that you need a little bit of help from them, and you're going to explain how this task happens. Okay? So think about your own... Do you need to know any more than that? Danny? Yeah, that's too easy, Daniel. The boss has paid the way. No, yeah, the boss is at some management conference, right? Then the boss isn't going to help you on this one, right? You're on your own. But that is a good scenario. I would like to think that the boss would be managing this workflow and helping you by saying, "Yeah, here's someone to talk to." Let's change the order. Let's do pairs and roles because that will help in the next part. So I'm thinking that. We've got a bit of space around if you want to stand up. If you'd rather just stay comfortable, you can do it sitting down. I mean, you can talk sitting down, right? But we're going to try and mix the pairs up a little bit. So what I'm going to do for the scenario one, I'm going to start from the left-hand side and do pairs that way, okay? So that means we've got... So you just think about by row.
whatever. So we've got an active group. Yeah, we have an actual pair here, that Angela is going to have to move to that person. Or you, or you can come over here. If you want to. We've got two pairs here, we've got two pairs there, we've got two pairs there. Yep. Are you all? Thank you. Okay, so you've got pairs. Oh, we've got us on pair. And your name is? What's your name? Over back.
Hi.
Can you come and join? What's your name?
Helena.
All right. So everybody's got a pair? Fantastic. All right. I'm going to say, Melbourne's looking forward to playing as well. Okay, so what we're going to do is. So now you're close enough to have a conversation with the person. You probably won't bite. It's okay. All right. And if you don't want to sit down, if you'd rather stand up for this, feel free. There's plenty of space in the corners. We'll move to the front row when I tell you. Okay. So, person on the left, as I look at you, person that side, you're the person that's going to be doing the explaining. The person on that side, you're going to be the one that is going to be listening to the explanation. Let's start with person number two, the person listening who's been invited to help on this particular task. So you'll be obviously will be A, accepting or otherwise the task. You'll be B, you'll be having some questions probably about the task. Yeah. So that's your role. Person A, can you think about a work task you currently have that there's just a little bit of complexity? It's not just turning on the computer. Well, that's hard for some people. But just a little bit of complexity. Think about your task and how you're going to convey this to the person on that side of you. Okay. So, questions about the scenario, questions about roles. Anybody not clear what role they're playing? Okay, so what might we think about here? In my experience, the person on that side is usually thinking about the task, what they have to do. And they may especially be thinking about the outcome, right? I'm in a hurry, I'm really busy, I really need this person to not only get it done, but to get it right. Now, that's a good thing, we're in equality, but what are some other things you might want to think about besides just the task, what to do, and please get it right? Okay, that's it. Some clues. Why might this person help you? This is a classic one to commit. Why would this person help you?
To develop.
Okay, that would be one possibility. They get paid. They might be paid anyway. They might be paid. Things might be taken out. What else might be in it for them? Good ones. Yes. Yeah, could be. Yeah, you may have. So, you're hoping here, your name will be on this. I'll give you credit for this when I take it to the boss. Yeah. Anything else? The person on that side, I want you to think about this stuff. You're trying to convince someone to help you with something. I think there's got to be more in it than relying on their altruism or their friendly, helpful nature. Unless the workplace is a lot different now. Okay, so that would be a good consideration for the people on that side. You might think about the question statement thing. Rather than just, demand, here it is. At what point will you ask a question to check understanding? Never. Possibly. All right, at what point will you ask a question to check understanding?
Let's get before that, because we're running out of time for this one.
How do you wrap this up? This is a really important one. Think about this. You're giving somebody a task. What's the last thing you will leave them with when you walk away? What do you think would be the last thing you leave them with when you walk away? Thoughts? That would be one possibility, right? You're leaving them with the clear impression that you're willing to help. Okay? That would be one. Right? And whether you use
Aisha's language or aversion, that there would be, you could leave, and the last thing message is, you know, let me know if you're running a problem, or please let me know if you've got any questions. That might be one. What, that could be one last message. What's another last wrap-up message might be? Very good. For the people who really care about getting it done, getting it right, it would be making sure you understand this needs to be done by 5 p.m. on Friday. Repeat after me. You know, whatever, whatever you're saying. That is not a clue for the people on that side, okay? But what's the polite version of making clear that they know when the deadline is? Is there a polite version? We could do that. We could do that. We'll come back to emails in a moment. Yeah, we could do an email, but good tactic actually to confirm later. Yeah, all right. How much time will you need? I prefer open questions to closed questions. That's another course. But yeah. Do you have time to do this? Or how much time do you, can you spare us? Or do you see any problems in finishing this by 5 p.m. on Friday? Questions or statements? Right. As opposed to, you know, that is, do you see any problems in fitting this by 5 p.m. on Friday? Probably more polite than, you got it? It's got to be done by Friday. Now, that's a possibility, right? But I think if we're running collegiate, dealing with a colleague, similar level, I think, you know, do you see any problems with meeting the deadline? It's a better way of asking the question rather than the statement. Okay, we're set. 5 p.m. Friday. Got it. All right. Let's do it. Person on that side, you go first because you're introducing the concept. I'll give you about 2 minutes. So we're thinking about opening. We're thinking about the opening, some kind of invitation that may or may not have this. Secondly, a little bit about the task, and third, how you wrap it up. Go.
Look at me.
Quick debrief. People on that side. Who heard something that was almost compelling as to why you might help this person? Who heard a good what's in it for me? Okay, maybe it's John. What did you hear? Tell me your name.
Cameron,
what did you hear?
Well, I learned about timesheets and why it's good for me. Apparently it's tied to my bonus.
Great, okay. there was somebody in the room mentioned dollars somewhere or maybe that was Gautam. Okay, all right. One more. Anybody else heard something close to compelling? A reasonable reason to help? Okay, I'll do it the other way. Who still didn't agree to help? Why didn't you agree to help, Monica? Oh, what are we doing? Oh, you were still explaining the task.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Oh, no, that's important. Okay, so I would think that you can do the order you like, but I like to start with the WIFM to get them on side before we start going into tasks. That would be my hint on that. No, I'm sorry to pick on you. But yeah, I've been thinking that. All right, so tell me about the people on that side, on the people on that side, how did you know that the person understood what you were explaining? So, okay, well, we'll just do that. When you have, you thought you had some sense of the person you were talking to understood what you were explaining. Person on that side. So, Angela. Okay, and all right, so there was a... That must have been compelling. Now I really can't wait for the what's in it for me. Okay, so you got the erection. He was keen to do it because he said, no, let me do it. So there you go. Now, so that's terrific. Who has worked with people that can't wait to get tasks started, and whether or not they understand them or not, it doesn't get in the way? Yeah, well, I work with boys too, right? Just because they're eager to start doesn't mean they understand. It might mean they're keen to help. Great sign. Eager to help is you've done there, well, but it may not be that. So, good clue, but not necessarily a guarantee. Who else believes that the person next to him understood the task? Who thought they did a good job explaining it then? Nobody here did a good job explaining it. Someone on that side, who got the opportunity to ask a question about the task? What's your name? Avanti, what question did you ask? Oh, good, okay. Okay. And how was the response to that? Very patient. Okay. So that's another clue. Irrespective of the quality of the question, if you're explaining, I'd start with patient. Right? How might that pressure get in the way of being patient? Reality check. How might the time pressure get in the way of patience that they keep asking more questions, more basic questions, more stupid questions? How might that pressure get in the way? A lot. How might we manage the pressure then? How might we manage the pressure, still explain the task, conscious of the pressure that's getting to me and maybe getting to them? Daniel. So one way of managing is, let's rather than be seeming to be interrupted and went after, we haven't got long to explain this to us, we could invite them, would you mind just keeping a note of the things you'd like me to come back to? That would be one way of managing some of that pressure, especially if we know we're not, by nature, patient. This is a self-awareness issue. Some people are patient, some not. Some of the people who are patient don't know that they're not patient. So we might be able to manage it in the way that we pause to check understanding. People on that side. Did the person on that side in any way attempt to check their understanding? If you were on that side, you're listening to the task, did you get a chance, did the person have to pause to check your understanding?
Anthony,
yes. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, what's your name? Aiden. And how did Anthony check? Yeah. So he has paused and looked, and
then he sort of nodded. Right.
So this pausing for effect, right? It doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be an explicit introduction for questions. I'm saying we could just pause. Okay. Now, sometimes we might need a verbal signal to support that. You know, it is okay to ask questions. My tip would be, do not use what 95% of humans use, which is, okay, got any questions? If people ask you, oh, okay, you got any questions, what do you normally say? No. Well, you're in the 5%. Because most people, I have any questions, I know, I'm right. Far better way of phrasing that. What are you trying to achieve? When you're asking, you got any questions, what are you trying to achieve? What's the purpose of that? Why would you ask, have you got any questions? Because? Right, you want to check their understanding. What might be a better way of doing that? It's one way of doing it, okay? Might be a little bit long, it might be a bit challenging for them. Maybe he's giving me a chance. So, you know, this is pretty complex. The last time I explained this was a little difficult. So what part would you like me to explain again? What part would you like me to clarify? You're assuming, you're giving him license. Think about how you invite people to query. All right, scenario two. Oh my goodness, we're not going to have time for scenario three. This is more fun than I was expecting. All right. The wrap up. I know I interrupted the conversation. Did anybody get to a wrap up of that conversation? What's your name?
Kelly.
No, Kelly. What were you left with? What was the message that you were left with at the end of the conversation?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's perfect. So you're clear on what was the deadline?
By tomorrow,
okay. All right, so you're clear on the deadline, and it was clear that it actually was available if you had any questions. Okay. So be careful. Let's be clear on our final message. And it doesn't have to be that. It could be quite different. The message could be quite different. Okay, let's go to the second scenario. All right,
we'll do explaining.
Explaining findings, roles. And rather than choose new pairs, let's stay in the pair, but we're just going to change roles. All right? The person on that side is going to be doing the explaining part. Okay? Have we got what's happened to our pairs? Somebody lost somebody?
Yeah, I lost
someone. Have we lost somebody as well? Would you mind going to the back again? I'm sorry. And over drinks, we'll speculate on what happened with those relationships. Just kidding. Okay, so the person on that side is now going to be doing the explaining. The person on this side is going to be doing the receiving. Remembering that communication is, of course, two-way. So think about... we've got our scenario. This was one of your scenarios. That we came and we got repeated because we thought it was similar. Right, so personally, we've got this report, this research task, this project, and we're going to explain the results. We're going to explain the findings. We might even explain the recommendations. So again, let's say the person that you're explaining it to doesn't actually work with you. Right, so this is someone who's in a different department, different team. Has anybody talked to people in other teams? Good. Okay, so that's right. So it's not unrealistic. Okay, good. So the person on that side, you're the one that's got the body of work, you've got the results, and you're explaining them to another person. You're giving them the findings, you're giving them the results. Let's assume this other person is interested. Okay, you don't need to sell that part. That they are keen to see you. Right? We'll make it easy start. They're keen to see you. But let's say that the results and the findings are just a little different to what they were probably guessing, assuming, hoping for. Okay? So they get it, they're interested, but you don't have to explain all the... It's not that technical, it's just that what you're explaining is just going to be perhaps a little disappointing for them. Okay? Okay? So that's... Person on that side, you can think about something in your workplace that you would be reporting to somebody, giving findings, giving some type of outcome to somebody in another business unit. Think about a scenario, think about something you'd be explaining to them. And think about being something that just a little different to what they were expecting. Person on this side then, you're a willing participant in this conversation. You're keen, this meeting's been teed up. You're keen to see them because you're keen to hear the results. Right? So your persona will be, obviously, start with enthusiastic, and then how you respond is entirely up to you. But really, no, just, again, let's not make it too hard. Right? So no tantrums, no walkouts. Okay, so let's be reasonable. Okay, so let's check.
So what might you think about?
You're meeting with somebody from another business unit. You're going to be giving them the results of your research. What's one possibility for where the meeting might be? A meeting, okay? Neutral territory, right? What's another possibility for where the meeting might be? At whose desk? Yeah, it could be at their desk, or if we're lucky enough to have a desk, it could be at our desk. Okay, we could be inviting them. We could be inviting here. So there's three possibilities. I'm not going to do for this one. We're not going to do coffee shops, lunches, breakfasts, or any of those sort of things. Pubs. All right, we're going to leave all those out. All of which, depending on your one-on-one, your one-on-one communications, all of those may be legitimate venues. But for this, we're just going to go with those three options. Neutral territory, meeting room. Advantages are? Give me one advantage. Pardon? Quiet. Yeah, we can close the door. Thank God for that. Another advantage. Privacy, yeah, it's not easy quiet for us, we don't have anybody else in there. Another advantage? So this is a proper meeting, right, because we've got a meeting room, right? This isn't just us, top of my head ideas. Right? So I like the idea of meeting, but we don't always have options of those. So if it was a choice then of the others, my desk or theirs, who would vote for their desk for this conversation? Who'd vote for my desk for this conversation? Who doesn't know? Good. All right, so I would think, amateur psychology, if we've got stuff that we're going to need to refer to, right, it doesn't fit in our pocket or something, I'd say, can you come here? Especially if we think there's going to be more questions, more concerns, we need more stuff, more ammunition, more advice, I'd invite them to come here. But generally, If I'm providing the findings, I think of them as my customer, internal or otherwise, and I think therefore I'm making it easy for them. I'm doing their comfort space, not mine. Right? So think about the plus. And all I'm saying when I put this question is, think about it. For most of those, there's no right or wrong answer. Sometimes there are wrong answers, but generally it's just important you think about pluses, minuses. Is this one where we should have a meeting room? Is this one where I invite them here because there's a whole lot of stuff I might need to refer to? Or is this one where I'll go and go to their workplace because that's comfortable, respectful, whatever criteria you need? Right? So don't do this now because we're not going to move, right? But this is a good example to think about where the conversation might be. We're going to talk about this one. Okay, let's talk about the rapport thing here. Well, we haven't put a tick on rapport. So we're going to be delivering some news where this person we think is going to be just a little disappointed. Who thinks then that some reminder, rebonding of a relationship might be a good thing to do before we give them the news? All right, so how might that happen? I think it is. I think that we're going to give someone some recommendations, some results, some research findings that they're going to be a little disappointed with. I think I do a little bit of rapport to remind them that we're on the same side, or we're similar, or we're working together here. Do you want some clues, or will the person on that side be able to come up with some ideas on this all by themselves? And when would you do the rapport thing? Before, during, or after the conversation? I do it at the start. If you do it at the end, it just sounds like you're apologising or defensive. Let me assure you, before we're off, doing it at the end is better than not doing it at all. Right? But I think for these things, we're giving bad news a reminder that we're on the same team, or we've worked together, or you can trust me. Whatever, your own lines, right? Well, I won't give you any more clues because we're running out of time. We talked about pressure last time. Okay, we've done enough on the think about. I don't think there's any reason we shouldn't go ahead. Unless there's any questions about the scenario? It was a long time ago. Okay, so the person on that side is going to be starting. You're going to be introducing with, hopefully, rapport, but if you're going to care about rapport, you're starting with the here I am for the finance. Let's do it. I'm going to touch it basically. Okay, it's time. Any walkouts? All our pairs are intact. Thank heavens for that. Okay, so person on that side, who felt that there was some attempt at rapport, at relationship? I haven't heard from you, sir. Your name is?
Shamar.
And what did you hear? What was the attempt at rapport?
So they said I was
really there. That's nice. Okay, all right. So not a kind of a relationship building, but nevertheless nice in the classic sense of the word rapport. We're interested in the person, right? We're not just here business life. I'm here with bad news. It's, how was your weekend? A bit friendly, okay? Who had a different style than the friendly hair going one? Who else attempted rapport? The herd attempted rapport? In the front?
Charlie.
What was his attempt?
He said,
I'm sure that happens all the time. Okay, so, all right. Again, depending on genuine, sincere, all those things, it's a really good, I'm not doing this today, but yeah, for eye carriers, it's a really good way of starting. Right, yeah, you know, whatever it might be. All right, but some compliments to start is a really good rapport builder. Okay, so, first one. All right, so tell me about the person, then, when you actually got to the bad news. Did you flag it? Or did you say, look, facts are facts, this is it? Or was there some preparatory kind of wording? Who felt they kind of warmed them up to it? How did they warm you up to it?
He was asking whether
it's happening every year or not. Yeah, okay. I'm really excited because we had somebody actually do it. This would be a really good time to do the question rather than the statement. Right, let's just check your expectations before we hit them with it. We don't know, really. We've got an inkling they're going to be disappointed. Right, but some type of question there might help us then frame. You know, saying, so, well, I hear the results. You know, just broadly, what are your expectations? What do you think we'll be able to find? And that allows you, if they're thinking 10% increase and you're thinking 20% increase, where 20% is high and therefore bad, right, then that's a lot different to 10 versus 12. Would you agree? Right? So I think that is a classic pendulum about gold stars. You know, a good way of warming up people up or down the question rather than the statement. How did the person on that side express their disappointment? Sorry. To what extent did the person on that side express their disappointment? Who had a tough conversation? Monica, how was their disappointment? Remember, this is being recorded, so expletives aside, how was the disappointment conveyed? Okay, all right. So, and we know that some people play games in these circumstances where they do up the ante and, you know, the kind of threat stuff about going to the CEO, subtle but effective. Right? And but sadly or otherwise, this is the way that people play games, right? And so we need to be able to respond to that somehow. How did you respond, Monica? Oh, okay, I'm gonna say it. Monica, how would you respond to that?
Given I'm not
showing
quite well, I
would have been. Right, okay, right. So we could try blocking, or we just ignore. But we've got to have responses to these things. Right? Pieces, people play games, and we need to have responses to them in our one-on-one communication. All right, so what was the other thing we said on that one? Okay, I might leave it, because I said we'd leave it, we'd have some time for broader questions. Oh, the other thing I said we'd do is tell me about emails. So tell me about the first scenario. If
if, brackets not recommended, but if you needed to rely on email to explain the task, what would be different compared to one-on-one verbal? What would you need to be careful about if you were explaining the task via email, not verbally? What would you want to get right if it was by email?
Understanding the questions they might ask.
Okay, all right. So that would be, so you need to really think about what are some of the questions, right? And so that you're, if this is an issue, boom, this is an issue, boom, this is an issue. Right? You might think about what other things you can, what links you can provide, what, you know, how to on Google or something, you know, that might be required, links to the procedures document, that they've got another backup to it. But I think it's a great, it's anticipating their questions and making sure they're in the email. Great one. What else might be different about the, about explaining the task by email? Well, I think we can't do it live in person, you know, the what's in it for them. You know, you've got to be pretty careful with your language right. The very first sentence, getting them on board, getting you to engage. Right? And you could just do the boss said, but, you know, I think you want to do something a bit friendlier and more inviting than that. For something like that, I prefer one-on-one, but sometimes we can't do that. We've got people out of the office, or you're working different time zones and being able to explain the task. So just think about how you do that by email. For this one, we're explaining results. Again, not recommended if it's disappointing. I do it live in person. But again, if it's some, if your business unit, the person you're dealing with is in another state and you feel like you can only do it by email, what would you need to be careful of in that email? But yeah, okay. All right, so how, so technical term, ladies and gentlemen, pissing him off. But so what wording would you do? What wording would you do in an email to limit the chances of that? Okay, very good, right? So, you know, so we'd probably need to warm up the wording. We're not doing any blame stuff, right? But I think if they're going to be unhappy with it, what else do we need to do? We need to give them another communication avenue. So in the email, it will be not just expecting an email reply, but, you know, if you need to talk about this or you need to, you know, call my boss, here's a number. Right, so... Yeah, but I think you need to give them, if there is a risk on that, you'd want in the email, you'd then give a backup plan. Right? Not recommended for either, but sometimes it's essential. You think about what's in the email, or more important, think about what's not in the email. Right. Gaffin, you're in charge. You want to come up and take questions at the risk of going 5 minutes over?
Sure.
How would you rephrase it, Gavin?
I was thinking about it. I would say there's a lot of things that, and a lot of elements that were discussed, and I think quite a few of them, it's more to remember about context. So I think the question is to the group, and I think something in line would be how would you
So I would say, look, we've covered a lot of topics in a short period of time. There must be something you didn't have a chance to explore. What would you like to ask me? Thank you. Sorry, you're up.
Suppose you're very good technically, and suppose you're very good at knowing what your role is. But if you're not good at small talk, sometimes it might be difficult to develop relationships. So how do you get over that? Or like, how do you overcome that?
Okay, great question. And this is why rapport means different things to different people. And some people do rapport by doing a small talk. How's your weekend? Nice shirt. You know, that sort of thing. But if we're not good at that, we're not comfortable, I'd say don't do it. Think about doing the rapport a different way. You know, you're just going to say whatever it is. A bit about your role. Well, that's not really small talk. That's quite factual. You're about, you know, the role. It's been another business unit. You just explain to me a bit more about your role, or how long you've been here, or how you're going to use the results. So you can still introduce the subject with a little bit of rapport, but the rapport isn't that what I'd call small talk. It's more about the person, the role, the work. All right. So think about what's comfortable for you. But I think a lot of roles we're in, the people we're dealing with probably aren't expecting a lot of small talk. But I think, you know,
do a bit of experimenting. You know, next time you're being introduced to somebody, well, maybe not even for the first time, someone you've worked with a little bit, then how might you start the conversation before you actually get into the absolute content? How might you just go back to, oh, I think we've met before, was it 3 months ago? Or even if it is, you know, the last time we were talking was when I delivered the last quarterly report. How did that work for you? You know, so that, you know, it's still a good rapport thing, but it's not about, you know, the footy tips or or your favourite music. Right. You know, it's still very work oriented, and I think you can still do work oriented rapport, which you're comfortable with. Have a practice. Thank you. Good question. Next, Daniel. Daniel, that's my wrap-up point. You can take credit for when I do this in the wrap-up, okay? Great question, right? But I'm going to do the wrap-up. One more. I'm thirsty as well. Shall I?
How do you deliver negative or, I guess, bad, but in a constructive way, feedback? Not per se on work, but more personal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Tough one. And we crossed off that last one because feedback can be difficult. Even though it's feedback about the task. So if we're doing performance assessment for somebody junior than us, right, we can set this up in a reasonably formal environment where across the range of things, we're assessing, you know, these are things you do well, these are things I think you need to work on. So I think most people, when they're in that sort of formal setting, they understand the way the game is played. You know, they're going to get some things which are, hey, this is great, I'm delighted with this, and they know there are going to be some things which are going to be, Monica, you need to work on this. All right, so so I'd say if you can set up in that sort of framework where there's some expectation that they're going to get, you know, a couple of reminders, I think I'd do it that way. If you want to do it outside that, it's a colleague that you're not comfortable with the way that they're doing some things, that's going to be a little difficult. But better to say it than not. So you think about what's the best way of couching it. We go back to the board. This is classic. What's in it for them? Why should they listen to your advice? Why should they listen to your advice? Okay, perfect. All right. So... Yeah, and so how would we introduce it? So I think we're both the same here. We want to learn from our mistakes, don't we? Don't do it as a question. Or, you know, it'd be important that, you know, that we don't want to have anything which is going to be, you know, blighting our record here. Would you agree with that? All right, so if I was going to give you a couple of clues that would help you limit the risk of making a mistake, would that be worth listening to? Are they likely to say yes or no? If they say, no, I don't want to listen to you, well, that would save your breath. But they say, yeah, okay, if you want to give me some clues, it's going to help me avoid making mistakes, I'll listen. All right, well, this is the one thing. All right, so, but the main trick in delivering feedback to people about things they can improve, the conversation isn't about the person. It's about their task, their work. All right, so it's not saying, who haven't I picked on for a while? It's not saying, Angela, you need to work on this, you're not doing this well, don't use you. All right, Angela, the reports you're writing, to me, aren't very clear. The report needs a better conclusion. The report needs to state its assumptions more clearly. Right? It's about the report. It's not about Angela. She'll get the message, though. Sorry. Up, delegating your feedback upstream. What the boss could do better? It's okay. So let's assume this is an enlightened boss and they are genuinely interested in improving their performance and they love 360-degree feedback and they are asking you. Okay? Right? They do exist. They do exist. There are enlightened bosses interested in 360 and genuinely want some feedback. So I'd say test that first. Right? So it would be, so if it is whoever I picked on, so it's Gautam's your boss, right? And he comes along and says, Charlene, I'm just interested in, you know, how am I going? You know, I haven't been a team leader for long. I'm interested in how the team's responding. I just test it. So, Gautam, you're asking me, you know, you're genuinely asking some feedback, you know, on your role. Yeah, I'm after some genuine feedback. Are you after some, you know, reinforcement of positives or sort of things that you'd like me to do better? They didn't call it. Oh, I'd like some things to do better. Okay, there's one thing I think you could do better. Just start with one. Test his reaction before you go on to the next three. All right, is that helpful? So, if that test they're legit, test you want just the positives or you want some negatives, they say negatives, I'll give a one. I'll just give, I've only got one. I've only got one. Do you think that might work, Shelley? I don't have any liability insurance. Please, don't. Please. All right.
That's my questions. So, just to wrap up from Yaz's perspective, so mine are actually legal that I've had a pleasure reading as well. That covers a lot of these points and it actually goes into a bit more detail on a number of them. And I found that actually quite good. So, we're going to actually post that on our past events page.
Make sure we got the message clear because Daniel told me what I had to say. All right, so what did we cover? First thing, principles. Main principle, communication isn't one way. One-on-one, let's make sure we think about the other person, testing they get the answer, testing the feedback. Two, practice. We don't get better by reading e-books. We don't get better, all right, by watching other people. Right, we get better by trying things. So I'm hoping, even though I'm not going to insist on you writing an action list now, I'm hoping that whether it be from any of those points or any of the things you experienced in the practice, there's just one or two things that you will practice this week. The practice is part of it. The main learning, though, is Daniel's point. The main learning is when we have 2 minutes, if only 2 minutes, reflection time afterwards, right? How did that work? Right? Just in your head. Right? If you want feedback from the other person, by all means ask. But just for now, how did that work for me? So after the conversation, especially if it's a difficult one like giving feedback to your boss, as you're walking back to your desk or packing up at your desk, as you're walking out the door... On the train, whatever it might be, okay, how did that conversation go? What was something that I did well? What was something that I did? I'd start with that. What was something I did well? What was something I thought got a good reaction? And the other side, to Daniel's question, my hint for you is so you don't beat yourself up too much, use a different pronoun for the second part. Not what did I do wrong, not even what can I do better next time. Right? But it's just to make it depersonalised. Right? Next conversation, what should Daniel do better? Right? We're not beating ourselves up, we praise ourselves. What do I do well? Oh, I was really pleased the way I opened that conversation, really pleased with the way I clarified it. But I think, just like normal, Daniel was probably just a bit tough in delivering that message to the boss. Might need to soften it next time. Okay? So that would be the reflection is the important part so that what we practice, we get the learning from. It's been a treat being here. And I will be here. Is there a lemonade left?
No.
Right. Or a water. Anybody want to have or share an orange juice or a water with me, then I'm here till 7:30. Anything you'd like to explore further. But thank you very much for your cooperation. I was delighted that unwarned, unrehearsed, you were all happy to play with the scenarios. So thank you very much for playing.